The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, commencing at verse 8. Now we read in the verses before then that they're coming up to Bethlehem, so in the same country means the area around Bethlehem. Hear with faith in your hearts the word of God. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to every heart here this morning. Let's briefly pray, asking the Lord's blessing. Lord, we thank thee for all that we've received by way of different ministry this morning. We thank thee for the singing and the poems. We thank thee, Lord, for the recitation of scripture. We thank thee for thy word we've just read, and we pray, Lord, bless us. Lord, to focus our hearts upon thee this morning, however young or however old we are, that, Lord, that we may see thee and that we may hear from thy lips thy word. And we seek thy blessing, O God. Give unction that's needed to teach and to preach, O Lord, we pray. Apply it to us all, thy blessed word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, I've been asked to address the children specifically this morning. So those who are children or those who have been children, would you please listen very carefully to what we're looking at this morning. If you could imagine with me a big Christmas present, a huge Christmas present, very big, and it's wrapped. It's got beautiful, expensive, glittery wrapping paper, and it's got a huge bow on top, and it looks very, very expensive. And so there you are. You receive it and you open it up. You take off the ribbon, you take off the wrapping, very careful to carefully take off the wrapping paper, because you could reuse it, of course. And if anything like my mum was, always had to take it apart carefully. And then you open up the box, an expectation, what's inside? Nothing. What sort of present's that? What sort of Christmas present is empty? Well, I would compare that to how an awful lot of people are spending Christmas at the moment. They're having a busy, hectic, expensive Christmas. They've got Christmas trees, they've got Christmas jumpers, they've got Christmas presents, they've got Christmas food, Christmas pudding, Christmas cake. All these things that are so-called Christmas, and yet they don't have Christ. They've got all the wrapping paper, they've got all the outside, but there is no content. It's Christless, Christmas. Now, the angel of the Lord, he appeared 2,000 years ago, and he announced the fact that the Lord was giving such a gift, such a special gift. I mean, it's not even to compare with what we've just been thinking about. But this gift needed no tinsel, needed no wrapping paper, needed nothing on it to make it more exceptional than it was or than he is. Because it was the gift of Christ, an eternal gift, a blessed gift, an eternal blessing. And so the angel comes to the shepherds. We just sang about it, or we heard it sung, and we've sung about the shepherds at night. And he announces to them, if we see there, in verse 10, he says, Behold, look, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings. What does that mean? It means good news. Bring you good news. Now, the Greek, the New Testament was written in another language. Nowadays, if you think of a world language, you think of English. You know, everyone speaks a bit of English almost around the world. But in those days, Greek was one of the most important languages. And so the Bible, the New Testament, was written in that language so more people could read the Bible. And the original language, the word that's used is evangelize. I evangelize unto you a thing of great joy. And that means the word that we know as the gospel, Old English for good news, good tidings. And the gospel is something that the Bible says that the angels are desirous to look into. The angels think this is fascinating because they live, they work in the presence of God, and they see his beauty, they see his holiness, and they can't believe, as it were, although they do believe, they can't believe how wonderful he is, how kind he is to this fallen race of Adam, that we sin and that we hate and that we ignore God all our lives, however young we are, however old we are. That's our nature. And they can't believe how wonderful God is and showing such mercy to girls, to boys, to women, and to men through the gospel and through this Christ child. So with the Lord's help, we'll briefly look at the angel's gospel of great joy. The angel's gospel of great joy. We see firstly in verse 11, we see a savior. Now you've heard that word many times in church and elsewhere. A savior. What is a savior? Well, just imagine you're riding your bike along the road, if you dare to do that in Northern Ireland. But you're riding along the side of the road and you fall off. You fall off into the road and there's a car coming towards you. And then someone grabs you, they lift you out of the way and the car rides over your bike, and that could have been you. You could have been under that car, and you could have been as mangled and as destroyed as your own bike, but someone saved you. And that's what a savior is, someone who saves you from death. And if you're able to read in Matthew, and we haven't got the time, but when Joseph, Mary's betrothed, was told by an angel in the dream, he said, "You'll call his name, the baby to be born, Jesus." Why? "For he shall save his people from their sins." So he's a savior of sin. He saves us from sin. He saves us from the punishment for sin. But you'll see with me, if you would, in verse 11, you'll see three things about this savior. It says, "For unto us a child is born." It doesn't say it here, but "For unto us is born this day." Although that was recited. He's born. What is that? Well, that's quite clear, isn't it? He's born. He's a real baby. He's really become a man. God, the Son of God, has become man. He's really born. He's really come flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. He's come to be one of us. And he's like us. He got tired like us. He got hungry like we do. He experienced all things as a man, as a baby, except sin. So he's a real person. But we see also that he's called Christ. And that word, Christ, that means that somebody's been chosen by God to do a work for them. That's what it actually means, Christ. And specifically, in the Old Testament, when God chose someone to be a prophet, or to be a priest, or to be a king over his people, then he would have them anointed. A prophet would go up to them and he'd get a little jug of oil and pour it on the heads. That was the way of saying, God is filling you with the Holy Spirit. He's anointing you with this oil, filling you with his Spirit to do a work for him. And so the word Christ actually literally means anointed. So he's been anointed. He's had the oil, he's had the Holy Spirit poured upon him to do a special work for God. So this is his title. He is the Christ. But we see also finally here that he's the Lord. Who's the Lord? Jehovah. He is the eternal God. And so we see something here of, I'm not the best at mathematics. I'll freely admit it. But I bet even the best person at mathematics doesn't get this one. Because here we've got a divine mathematics. He's 100% man. 100% baby in this case. 100% human being plus 100% God equals 100% Jesus Christ. You think, shouldn't that be 200%? No, because he's completely 100% in that way. 100% man, 100% God, 100% Jesus Christ. God-man, the God-man. He's God and man, and that means something very special that we'll think about very shortly. But see, secondly then, that the angel says and gives a sign in verse 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you." So the angel then gives a sign to find the Savior. He gives two signs. A manger, which is a feeding trough. I don't know if I say trough around here, I'm not sure. A feeding trough for food, for feeding the goats and the sheep, a trough. So they have to find a trough, and they'll find a little baby wrapped in swaddling bands or swathing bands. They're wrapped up. Now, Third child, we've got seven. Our third child was very restless when he was born. And we had to have a version of swaddling bands. He was very restless, and even when he was just born, little Calvin, he'd move his arms and he'd whack himself in the face and he'd wake himself up and he'd be crying again. So he wouldn't be still for more than 5 and 10 minutes. So we found a modern version of swathing bands, which was called the miracle blanket. And so his little arms would be on the side and they'd be tucked in with two little folds of cloth, and then you roll it round him and he was all cozy. He was kept warm, as you have to keep little babies warm. And the arms were still beside him, and he felt all happy and safe and comfortable and secure. And he slept. Yes. He went to sleep, which meant that we had sleep. Yes. So that's what the swaddling bands are there for. And they did it in those times, and they still do it here and there, even nowadays. So, but what's so special about swaddling bands? If everybody did it in those days, which most of them did, it seems. And what's so special about a manger? Well, surely there were mangers everywhere. Well, there weren't. Growing up, I had this idea that behind every house in Bethlehem, there was a stall and there was a manger, and especially behind this inn, there was a... Well, it's not what the scriptures say. And if you look in the Old Testament, you'll see that the sheep were never looked after in the field behind the town. They were always in the wilderness. Jacob, we know, had in the wilderness. David was always in the wilderness with the sheep. And all the others, they weren't around the field at the back garden. And it appears, and I've read it myself, that there was Jewish law, or the Mishnah as they call it, there was a tradition that no sheep or goats were allowed to be kept near human dwellings, or even in the human dwellings. They had to be fed in the wilderness. With one exception, Bethlehem. Because the fields around Bethlehem were used for a very special purpose, and they were used for the temple lambs, for the lambs that were sacrificed for sin in the morning. The first sacrifice, a lamb from Bethlehem. The last sacrifice of the day, a lamb from Bethlehem. Of course, on the Sabbath, two lambs in the morning and two lambs in the evening. This is where they came from. And some researchers believe that these weren't any old shepherds, but these were shepherds who were appointed by the Levites to look after these lambs. Because then they had to. They brought the sheep into this stall, and then the sheep gave birth, and the little lamb was wound with swaddling bands to stop it kicking, stop it panicking and breaking its leg and becoming blemished, because it had to be without blemish. No broken bone, no scruffy ear, no blemish, no bruising, or else it wouldn't be acceptable to go to the temple. And so when the angel said, "You'll find in the manger a babe wrapped in swaddling bands," the shepherd thinks, well, those swaddling bands, obviously. And maybe it was. Maybe they didn't have any swaddling bands with them, but they found them there. Because this was the one manger that was allowed near a human habitation. There's even some clues to this in the Old Testament, but we haven't got time now. And so here we see then that they go, and what do they find? In that manger for little lambs, they find the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God lying in the manger. And thirdly, we hear singing. We hear singing. So a Savior has been announced. There's a sign to find the Savior. And then there is rejoicing, there's singing about this amazing miracle of all miracles. The greatest of all miracles. And what do we hear then? Well, we hear the gospel in this. Because it says glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. Because that's why God does this. God is kind and is merciful and gracious to sinners in the gospel. He sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believe in him should not perish, shouldn't die as they deserve, but have everlasting life. Why did he do all this? For his own glory. You think, why? For own glory? Yeah, because only he is worthy of all glory. We're not worthy of any glory. He is worthy of all the glory. So glory to God in the highest. And then they talk about peace. Well, what's so great about peace? Well, peace is the opposite of war. Around the world, there is war. Around the world, there are houses being destroyed and people being killed and children being hurt and killed as well. And that's what war is. It's terrible. But here the angel's talking about peace. Because if your sins are forgiven through this Christ, this Lamb of God, then there's peace between you and God. All the
all your sins that are between you and God, all the hatred that we have naturally for God is taken away, and God's anger for our wickedness is removed. You could say that the fire of God's righteous anger has been put out by the Lamb of God's blood. It's been put out. There is no more anger against us because of the blood of the Lamb. And then goodwill. The goodwill means that there's now a blessed relationship between us and God. That when we are enemies, now we're friends. Eternally friends between us and God. And so then we've seen the gospel is proclaimed by the angel of the Lord. That there is a Son of God that became man. Truly God and truly man, that he is the Lord. He's born the Lamb of God. He's laid down in that manger because he was headed towards a sacrifice. He was headed towards the cross of Calvary. Not that month, not that year, but in due time, in God's time, he would sacrifice himself. And so we see a Savior, we've seen a sign, and we've seen or heard singing. And the angel gave this gospel of great joy. And when he gave it, what happened with all the angels that were there? They just couldn't hold it back. They couldn't hold it in. They had to praise God, glory to God in the highest. And why was there such joy? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ says this in Luke 15. He says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so, let me leave that with you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if this Lamb of God is not yours, if he's not your Savior, then repent of your sins. Believe on him, and there will be rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God that you've repented and that you're now friends with God forever and ever. And you'll receive then the greatest gift. The greatest gift. It doesn't need any tinsel. It doesn't need any wrapping paper. Because the greatest gift is forgiveness of sins, an everlasting life, and a life with Christ. Amen. I trust the Lord will bless those few thoughts to our hearts. And let us just briefly pray. Lord, we give thee thanks for thy blessed word. We thank thee for what we've learned. We thank thee for the Savior who was declared to us. We thank thee, Lord, for who he is. We thank thee, Lord, that he came to cleanse us of sin. We thank thee for those amazing signs that pointed to the Lamb of God and his work on the cross. And we thank thee for the glorious singing of the praise of thy name. For all things are done to thy praise and glory. And we pray even today, bless thy word to every heart, however young and however old. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.